It's that so special time of year, folks. Playoffs. Okay, that was my creepy open that I was doing just to test whether or not this new machine that I have in front of me is in fact recording anything. It is. And you know what? I kind of like whatever just happened there. So we're going to leave it in. Another episode, maybe next time. I am your host, William Bluer, without my co-host, Simon McCormack. We promise to be bringing you an episode quite soon focused on the tenure of our beloved question mark GM Sean Marks. That podcast is not happening today. Instead, as I mentioned in my creepy opening, we are heading into the playoffs. And as fans of a team that is not participating in this year's playoffs because we ignominiously tanked away the season, in spite of having every incentive in the world not to end up in the lottery, we very, very, very much did. So I wanted to talk about a couple playoff scenarios that I think are relevant to all citizens, proud citizens, I should say, of Nets Nation. First, we're going to head to the Middle West. Actually, both of these will be taking place in the Midwest. First, however, we'll stop in a once great city in the heartland of the United States of America, an industrial powerhouse, Cleveland, Ohio. They come into the season a little disappointed from last year's playoff outing, where they were shamefully dispensed with in, I think, five games by the much less talented New York Knicks. And so there was some pressure on them this season. They dealt with that pressure and that adversity by putting together a very vibes are definitely off season. They were better when various combinations of their four stars were hurt. So they went on a big run when Darius Garland and Evan Mobley were hurt. Then when Donovan Mitchell went down, they did kind of well without him. So it's a team, in short, in turmoil. They are heading into the playoffs, and they will be facing the Orlando Magic. Now, the Orlando Magic have had some very exciting teams historically. People in Orlando, I presume, probably like this team. But nobody currently really cares about this Orlando Magic team. That said, they are almost certainly going to beat this Cavs team. They are a grinded out, tough as nails defense. They've got some shining offensive players in Paolo. And Franz Wagner can get it going. He was on my fantasy team this year. Tough guy to have on fantasy. I loved him some nights, but I would say the overall Franz experience from a fantasy perspective might be a pass for me. It didn't help that next season anyway. I think it didn't help that he was shooting like 25% from three, which as hardcore fans of the NBA like you all are, know. That's not very good. I was shooting around earlier today. I think I took 6 3-pointers. I'm trying not to shoot 3-pointers. My game, I don't have an outside game. Even though I'm only 6 feet tall and should, you know, by NBA terms, that should be the only thing that makes me relevant. I like to consider myself a bully ball kind of guy. Players who I'm like in the NBA currently. I mean, Big Baby Davis comes to mind, but he is no longer playing in the NBA who is that enormous guy who is on Memphis? Really large player. I believe he may have gotten traded to the Boston Celtics. This is going to be incredibly compelling audio because I'm going to Google while talking to you. I'm going to Google big player on Memphis Grizzlies and see if I cannot scare up the name of this player who I model myself off of and obviously spend a lot of time thinking and caring about. This is awful. I am so sorry. I gotta stop looking this up right now. I can't find the guy. And I'll leave it to you, listeners of this podcast. Please figure out who I'm thinking of. He's really, really big. Kenny Lofton Jr. That's who it is. Okay. It just took, I didn't find that on Google. That just came to me. I used God's Google, my own recall to figure that one out. My head is bleeding rather profusely. I hit it while doing push-ups. That's right, folks. I was doing push-ups the other day and I hit it on a bookcase that was in front of me because, believe it or not, I don't have a very large home. So I hit my head on a bookcase while doing push-ups. Something just happened up there and and I appear to be bleeding rather severely. But the nice thing is I'm not in pain. Another nice thing is I remembered who Kenny Lofton Jr. is. So things are not all gloom and doom over here. My game, for what it's worth, is similar to Kenny Lofton Jr. But back to Cleveland. There is a very, 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 very realistic scenario in which that team disappoints once again in another first-round exit, and Donovan Mitchell gets a little antsy and says, you know what, it's time for me to move on. He's a New York guy, obviously would love to play for the Knicks, but he's a bit duplicative at this point now that Jalen Brunson somehow has ascended to being like a very, very good NBA player. I don't understand how that happened. I still don't fully believe it and am a skeptic, a Brunson skeptic, or at least a skeptic of like what your team ceiling is if Brunson is your superstar. But that's beside the point. The point here is Cavs lose first round. Donovan Mitchell suddenly becomes available. Okay. He wants to come to New York. Got a great little neighbor to the east of your New York Knicks. It's called the Brooklyn Nets. It was good enough for some of the most unlikable superstars in the history of the NBA. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden to come to. It has to be okay for you too, Donovan. Come on over. All right. That's inherently not that interesting to me. I don't care. We're not doing anything if we just add Donovan Mitchell to our team. But we're not just adding Donovan Mitchell. We are heading west-northwest from Cleveland, Ohio, and we are heading to the Minneapolis, the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of your third-seeded Minnesota Timberwolves. Unfortunately for the Timberwolves, after what was, I think by pretty much all counts, an unexpectedly fantastic regular season. I think people expected them to be a playoff team, but not in the running for the first seed in the West up to the very last game of the entire season. People were not expecting that. So they have exceeded expectations, but are meeting in the first round the Phoenix Suns, who appear to be the kryptonite to this Minnesota Timberwolves team. Any talking head will tell you, it looks like this is just a bad matchup for your T-Wolves. And if the T-Wolves get bounced once again in the first round. They are looking down the barrel of an extraordinarily high luxury tax next year. And how does one get off an extraordinarily high luxury tax? Well, you get rid of a very, very expensive player. Rudy Gobert is not going anywhere. That GM is pot committed to old Rudy Gobert. So the biggest contract and the most onerous contract and the one I think they could justify moving on from is a player I have long lusted after. Karl Anthony Towns, another guy on my fantasy team. Absolutely fantastic. I got him for a song. He's a very, very good fantasy player. One caveat to that, he got injured for the end of the season, and I went from a dominant first place in my league to ending up in second place. That's right. Even worse than the Nets completely missing the play-in was me being robbed of my fantasy league championship. It was a heartbreaker. And honestly, it's a little too soon for me to talk about it. I think I'd rather go back to Googling Kenny Lofton Jr. with you all, or discussing how I'm bleeding out from a head wound with you, than I would dwell upon my near victory in fantasy this year. But the point is, Karl Anthony Towns, the rumors are already starting, could be someone that the T-Wolves are trying to move on from this summer. All of a sudden, the Nets could be in a position to acquire not only Donovan Mitchell from the disappointing Cleveland Cavs, but Karl Anthony Towns from the disappointing Minnesota Timberwolves. That duo, while I could understand why there would be skepticism around the, you know, ultimate ceiling of that duo to me is young. It has a huge amount of potential. Karl Anthony Towns is terribly underrated because people basically think he's a softie, which he very well may be. But he is extremely good at basketball. He's one of the best shooting big men of all time, certainly the best one in the league presently. Donovan Mitchell, we all know, has an offensive ceiling that is through the roof. He's a 50-point-in-a-game playoff player multiple times, I think. So those two here, surrounded by your McHales and maybe a DFS, et cetera, could be our road to relevancy, to redemption, to rejuvenation. I'm just, you know, any R word you can think of, we are going to attain that R word through the acquisition of these two. I'm going to call them superstars. I think some could quibble, but certainly when they become our stars, they will ascend in our minds, in Nets Nation's minds, into superstar status. So as you watch these playoffs, my advice to you as a citizen of this nation is not to wonder what it would be like to have a team in these playoffs, but to strongly, strongly root for first round exits for both Cleveland and Minnesota so that this offseason we can acquire two of the hottest mid-20 stars. I actually don't know how old they are. I think they're both in their mid to late 20s. I would guess 27-ish for both of them. So we can acquire these two 27-ish stars in the offseason. Let me know what you think. Twitter, maybe next time. Or write me a lengthy email. I always appreciate those. Maybe next time at gmail.com. While we're here and under the 20-minute mark, I will not go over 20 minutes. I vow right now not to go over 20 minutes because this is, frankly, probably been long enough. I just want to do a very quick Nets newser. There are rumors, Nets rumors that Nick Claxton could get upwards of $20 million a year on a free agent contract. The Pelicans appear to be linked. If we're not getting Donovan Mitchell and Karl-Anthony Towns, I'm all for it. Frankly, if we do get Karl-Anthony Towns, I would love it if we could somehow keep Nick Claxton too, because I think those two, the yin and yang of offense and defense would be quite intriguing. This headline, I mean, it's too good not to read. Ben Simmons rumors, : Nets star loves the NBA lifestyle too much to consider retiring. If the idea is that he would retire and forsake the 40 whatever million dollars we're paying him next year, I would not retire either, because the expectations of him are that he sits on the sideline with an owl necklace claiming to have back problems while getting paid $500,000 a game. So if that's the NBA lifestyle, I think I could grow accustomed to it and end up loving it too much to give it up. I do think, however, after next season, when he once again does not return to anything resembling a human being who plays the game of basketball, I don't think he's going to have much of a choice about whether he retires. He certainly will not get another offer in the NBA. Maybe he'll go to the Australian League or something. I know that's been rumored. Other headlines, of course, who is Jordy Fernandez? A player's coach, yes, but a demanding one. Nets Daily, all the people who care about the Nets, which are like six of us, have been thinking, talking, breathing, eating, sweating, and other things one can do. Jordy Fernandez recently. And honestly, if you have a serious Jordy Fernandez take right now, tip of the cap to you. You are in the weeds in a way that I could only aspire to. I know nothing about him. I know, other than the broad strokes, he's an assistant coach. Apparently, other people considered hiring him. I think notably they didn't. We don't know anything about him. Maybe he's our new Kenny Atkinson, and he will become a beloved sideline figure, though he looks a little too vital to be the next Kenny Atkinson. He doesn't have that ashen, beaten down look that was so endearing about Kenny Atkinson. But if you've got a Jordy take, if you know something I don't, which is literally anything about Jordy, share it with me. Would love to hear about it. Any other headlines? It looks like Mikal Bridges has been a little bit down. Says he was in a bad headspace this season. I mean, he certainly wasn't very good. So I think it's fair to blame it on something. If mental would be easier than probably saying, maybe I'm not as good at basketball as I thought I was. Cam Thomas stuff, are you in on Cam Thomas? Yeah, I have to concede he did have a good end of the season. He started to get a little more efficient. I'm a little bit more intrigued by Cam Thomas now than I was the last time we spoke. I was fully out on him then. I have 1 minute and 10 seconds before I can go address the open wound on top of my head in a meaningful way, which is to say, not just dab it with a Kleenex occasionally. So I will spend that time reading one final headline to you, and it is this. Nick Claxton, : I'm in a great situation. I think you could argue that he's not in a great situation. If by great he means a team that is relevant and exciting and fun to be on. That sense, he is not in a great situation, in the sense that he has a lot of opportunity, I guess. That's a good situation. I am a Claxton stan. Simon and I went to a game towards the end of the season. Oh, God, the terrible Raptors game. We did get a T-shirt that night. But we also got to see the pairing of Claxton and Clowney, and that was one of the most electric duos I have ever seen in my life. Rewatch the tape. I think Clowney got 7 blocks in that game. So the idea of pairing Claxton, Clowney on the wing, very, very tantalizing to me. Sorry, the screen just disappeared this, but I appear to still be recording, which is a relief. I have now officially exceeded the 20-minute mark, which I promise not to do. I will stop now and do some self-care on the old noggin. Hopefully you all won't abandon the NBA during these playoffs just because the Nets aren't in it. Again, check out those Cavs and Wolves in the first series, because in round one, because if something goes amiss there, one of those two boys, and I hope both of them, could end up in Brooklyn as soon as next season. Anyway, Simon and I will be coming at you very soon for some Sean Marks talk. Hit me up, maybenetstime@gmail.com. And how did we conclude this? See ya. That's time. I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was this letter I read. If you like pina colada.